We ready to move? Ready to go? All right. So God gives us a really great mandate of the older women teaching the younger women. And older people have had so many different things, chronologically or spiritually. Are you spiritually older? So if I have a 70-year-old gal that's not walked with Christ, am I now her mentor? What, you know what? You're going to have to figure this out. This is definitely something that I would say, just we need to be in relationship, walking side by side. So in Titus 2, chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, God says this, likewise. Now, what's the likewise? So he has been, Titus has been told by Paul, you need to be making sure that you have elders and pastors, and this is how you set up this structure within the church. So he, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Can I add to teach how to love well? Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children. Isn't that loving well? To be self-controlled and pure. More on loving well. To be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Look, we're going to take those two areas and we're going to expand on that just for a minute here. The qualifications of an older woman. What do you see there? Self-control. But let's go back to the older women. Reverent in the way they live. I would say that probably includes self-control, don't you? What else? Not to be a slanderer. What's the last one? Or the next one? Don't get drunk. If you choose to drink, that's your deal. Don't get drunk. There's that line, right? Know your line. Now, these days, addictions take a variety of forms, and so even medical forms. Just know your line. So if you've been prescribed a Valium or something like, know what it is to where you're not within the self-control that you need to be, and then talk to your doctor about it. So we want to be women used by God. Here we go. So then we've got the qualifications of that older woman. If you're qualified to train younger women, what's that character we're to be training her in? Let's say it. Tell me. Love her husband and children. What else? Mm-hmm. Self-control. Purity, busy at home, kindness. And what's that last one? What does that mean? Submission. Submission to their husbands. That's a hard one, isn't it? In a day and age where everybody wants to wear the crown, and God has told us that part of the curse was that our husband was going to rule over us, and frankly, we want to rule over him. That's a hard one. But there is, God has determined that there is a leader in the home. And if you're married, it's not you. Submission comes at a cost. Submission comes at a cost because I want to lead. I don't know about you. I want to lead, yet that self-control will help me to understand that it is my husband is who is to lead. So, and then we'll get to the why. Why? Why do we do this? Why do we want to follow a Titus 2 mandate? Okay. No one will malign the word of God. Let's talk about that. What does that mean? I'm sorry, say it again. That's right. Maligning the word of God means that it's really kind of evil, that we don't want to follow it, and then it looks really ugly. It's maligned. It's evil. There's an intention that God doesn't want. So he gives us these things in the Bible to help us to live with boundaries. Vicki and I were driving out here, and we were talking about just the mandates in Scripture and how hard they can be to follow. And we're driving, and I'm like, Vicki, you know what? It's so true. If there weren't any lines on this road, I'd be like all over the place. Get out of my way. I need to get here. The lines on the road keep me safe, and Vicki added, and other drivers safe from you, Kathy. These mandates are for our good and for God's glory. Remember in the very beginning, we talked about God is on mission, and his mission is to reveal himself to this world and his glory in that. And he gives us his word in order to do that. So we're going to take a group discussion. How's this? Group discussion for a few minutes on have you ever seen God work with an older woman in a younger woman's life? Be thinking about this. Picture somebody in your mind, in your life, or picture somebody else that you've seen. What examples do you have from when you were younger till today? Think about it. Gail, do you have one?
I'm very blessed that I have a Christian mom, and so I we live together, and so I have a daily example of someone who is faithful to God, and that has been such an example to me that she prays every day for me and for my children and for our church. And she's just wonderful like that. And also, I recently joined a Bible study with some women in our church who are older. That's okay to say, right, you guys? Yeah. They're older than me. Yeah. And we figured it out. I'm in my 50s. We have someone in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s are in this study. So isn't that a beautiful perspective? And so I'm the punk.
Of the group. Punk Gale.
Yeah. But it has been amazing to hear them talk and say what they've learned from God's word and in his life. And they are wonderful mentors and examples to me. So I'm really thankful for them.
Gale has talked to me about Ethel. And she's also talked to me about you ladies. And I know there are other ladies too. Okay, what an amazing influence that you have had in her life, and an influence for good. Gail is blessed. Are you blessed because of her? Oh, yeah. This thing works. God's way always works. All right, anybody else who's been thinking? Group discussion, remember? Wonderful.
Just thinking about being a youth and the people that influenced me, and they weren't always believers.
Oh, wow.
And yet, they were a positive influence. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't. So, you know, that's just something I was thinking about.
Common grace. Doesn't God often use other people in our lives in order to give us truth? Older women and younger women. Anybody else want to share? Thank you.
A couple years ago, I was part of a Bible study that was called Titus 2, and it was older women and younger women getting together every week, and we went through Broken Down House.
Yes.
And it just was a very formative time in my life. It was when I met my husband, and we started dating, and just having these older women who cared and loved me, and it was a very, very special year that we had in that Bible study together.
Thank you for sharing. What a good ministry. It so blessed your life.
Mm-hmm. It's endless because of this. We're talking about the Titus woman of today, mm-hmm. which you might say could be any of us 50 or over, and certainly my 93 years. But you know what? I can still go back in my ministry just to a younger woman on the basis of what I still remember being taught by even a great grandmother. So it's ongoing. It's ongoing. It's from generation to generation.
Isn't God amazing? He puts that in homes, right? He kind of does that whole thing in the home. Thank you for sharing.
Well, when I was growing up, when I was back in my day, I never really had very many women in my life who were a positive influence. I didn't really get to see what marriage was supposed to look like, how raising your children was really supposed to look like, until I married my husband. And I have had a beautiful example in my mother-in-law, Gail. And there has not ever been anybody to pour into me like she has, to teach me how to be a wife and how to be one day a mother, and how to really just disciple other women. I've gotten to see her go through her classes and whatever in this biblical counseling program. And she shares some of the things that she learns with our family. And I've gotten to learn from her in my relationships with my friends or whatever, how to live alongside, you know, just like you guys are talking. But she's been a prime example.
Go, Gail. Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
About 18 years ago, I had lost my husband, and I kind of drifted away from God over the years. And when I sold my house, I lived in an apartment for about a year, and I was looking for a condominium. And I found one. And I brought my two sons with me to look it over and everything. And at that point, I had said to him, my sons, something about this apartment, this condominium unit, God is telling me this is where I need to be. And I bought the condominium, and it turned out that it was a 36 unit. Most of the people that lived there were senior citizens and were Christians. Even though I did not get very close to them as far as, you know, talking to them about my issues or struggles, there was one woman that I became very good friends with, and I am still friends with today. She's 89 years old, and had just given up managing the building this year, and she was a pastor's wife. And just through talking to her and being a friend, and I feel like so many of the people in the building had prayed for me, that I came back to Christ.
Wow. That is amazing. Coming back to Christ and an older woman being involved in your life and people praying for you. What a blessing.
One more thing.
Okay, last thing.
Beautiful.
Jill Howard.
I want to mention to my mother-in-law, Muriel, who's here. And I know she probably doesn't want me to talk about her, but I have this unique experience that they both live with me. We live together. They live with our family. And there are so many blessings just in that. But I watched Muriel walk through some family and health issues when her family was younger. And lo and behold, you know, 20 years later, I was walking through the same issues.
Oh.
And I, you know, she never gave me a bunch of advice, but she always listened to me. And that was life-changing. Because when she listened and encouraged me, I knew she knew what I was going through. So I appreciate that, Mom.
So just listening has a powerful impact on a person. just listening, just walking side by side and encouraging someone by even not saying anything. Wow. Thank you, ladies, for sharing. Thank you for going this direction. We're going to take just a few more minutes before we do a breakout session. And we're going to talk about the primary resources that have been given to us by God. And His resources are always the best. We look at your outlines. You see primary resources we've been given. His word and prayer. We talked about this before. God's word reveals truth. And God used 40 people who wrote 66 books over 1,500 years to reveal His plan of redemption. Does it seem like it would be a bit important to you and I? Yeah. It's huge. Of huge importance. It is where God really speaks to us. In fact, I looked at the Presbyterian doctrine because I wanted to be right on, and it's nice because we're all the same. And we believe that through the Bible, God's word, it speaks to us and that it is inspired. It went on and on, but that's what I stopped at. In some versions, it talks about God breathing out His word. How we give the word out is a real crux to this whole thing. But we need to know the word. Are you in the word? Prayer. God's word is the truth, and it's the reason we pray. I don't know who I'm praying to if I don't read the word. And prayer is that talking. His word leads us to pray because we want a loving relationship with our Father. This vertical affects the horizontal. Is that right? Prayer. Do you pray often? Is it sometimes a prayer of help? Help, I'm undone. Or, all right, I'll surrender. Help me. Help me. This is hard. This is horrible. I don't want to give in. I know my husband is the head of the home, but he's really wrong this time, God. How do I do this? Help me. Prayer. God answers. I think in the book that Gail has mentioned many times, Side by Side, I'm so enamored with this book. And she was very impressed by Jesus, God made flesh. God made flesh. Okay. Jesus is God, right? It says in this book, Jesus was in the wilderness, remember? What happened in the wilderness? He was tempted by Satan. How did he deflect the temptation? His word. He recited God's word to the enemy. And the enemy countered with what? The word. We need to know the word rightly. Have discerned truth. And if you don't know it, keep coming to church, right? Come into church. Get that older woman in your life, that person who will speak truth into your life. But then the second Adam, Jesus, walked into a deadly wilderness, which is a garden cursed. What other garden did we talk about in the very beginning of this day? Eden. The wilderness is a garden cursed. He was showing us how to combat Satan's schemes. Where everyone else had failed, a new champion had accepted the challenge and was committed to changing the master story. And he recites Mark. The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Then he goes on. Jesus did then what no one else had done. He trusted in the words of God and dismissed the lies of Satan, even when it meant more suffering and even death. Jesus was prepared and armed. He knew the scripture. Now, since we have the Spirit, the Word, and prayer, we can be hopeful and stand firm against Satan as we go through our daily wilderness in this ugly garden at times. Jesus' counterattack was that he prayed. Scripture and prayer are primary means of doing battle, even with our own flesh. God in the Trinity. We have one God represented in three persons. Oh my goodness, this group knows their doctrine. One God represented in three persons with three different roles. God the Father, what's his role? To be the Father, huh? He generates things. Things originate with him and flow from him. God the Father is equal with the Son and the Holy Spirit, but things start with God. He also sent the Son and the Holy Spirit into the world. God the Son, Savior, Redeemer, Mediator, Shepherd, Friend. Oof. He speaks to the Father in our defense. He's that good lawyer. God the Holy Spirit. Counselor, teacher, comforter, revealer of truth, convictor. What else? Overcomer. Helps us to live holy lives. Gives us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He helps us share our faith. He dwells in us. Helps us to love people well. Helps us to walk side by side with others well. How about the church? Primary means and resources God has given to us. The church teaches us. Gives us fellowship. I like to sing alone, you know, when I'm home alone, and it's really nice. But you come together in corporate worship, woo! Turn things on to make things more exciting, that us singing, worshiping corporately is a beautiful thing, and it feels good. Christian living is not a solitary thing. We believe it to be the Lord's will that Christians gather in churches for worship, for service, and growth in grace. How about the sacraments? What are a couple of them? Key ones. Lord's Supper. Baptism. This is awesome. Okay, these ladies know what they're doing. All right, sacraments are not the way to a relationship with Christ, but they are a visible sign demonstrating the blessing of God. Wow. Baptism, in particular. We participate in Jesus' death and resurrection. You know what, my baptism? It was my mentor who baptized me. And so she's drowning me. And she's saying, you are now dead to Christ. No, excuse me. You are dead to sin. Hello, wrong. Dead to sin. Dead to sin. Alive to Christ. Dead to sin, alive to Christ. In the Lord's Supper, around the table of the Lord, God's people are in communion with Christ and with all who belong to Christ. These are the primary resources that God has ordained to connect and have us live side by side with other people in our 2/5 of a second in God's story. We are going to go back to our tables, and our table leaders have their design to unravel all this that's just been talked about. But I want to tell you, God has given us our marching orders, ladies, getting connected, walking side by side. And Gail's going to take us home with this whole thing. But God is on plan to reveal his glory and himself. And one way is to use you. As you get connected with other women, you're following a beautiful, amazing marching order of God, and you're fulfilling a big part of the Great Commission. So, loving and connecting to the glory of God. Let's dismiss, go to your tables, let's talk.